Right, are we good?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to begin. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast. I'm Scroobius Pip, and this is the last episodes of the year. We don't know how many they're going to be. A lot of you will know we do drunk casts. We're doing a special drunk cast now, and we've got two special guests. I should mention we're brought to you as ever by Speech of Element Records, so go and buy stuff from there and pay for me to have a nice Christmas, you pricks. Speechofanimalrecords.co.uk. We've got loads of good stuff. It's weird because this happened last year, the week after it was announced that the Distraction Pieces has been picked as one of iTunes podcasts of the year. The next thing I recalled is me and my mates getting drunk and talking absolute nonsense and nothing of any worth. So in the intro, I'm going to introduce the regulars before I introduce the special guests. So I've got Stu and Chris, as ever. How you doing, guys?
What's up?
There's Stu. There's Chris. How are you? Are you nervous that we've got actual, like,
real
professionally funny people on this episode?
We spoke about it on the train down, didn't we? It's quite weird because I've had a little bit of chit-chat with Brett on Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't introduced him. I haven't introduced him yet, so keep that. That's Brett introduced. All right, go on.
Has that ruined?
So one is Brett the Hitman Hart.
No, but it's just intimidating when you think, like, because we're normally sitting in my back garden, in my little shed bar thing, chit-chatting away, mugging each other off, and it's like, now there's people that we've
seen on
the TV.
Mugged off,
it's going to be a little bit intimidating,
Chris, are you excited? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm very well.
We've got some Christmas-themed stuff as well, so I'm going to get straight into it, so let's hit the music. Now the music has been hit. Right, so I'm going to introduce the first guest on the Christmas specials of the Distraction Pieces Drunk Cast. Ramesh Ranganathan is a hip-hop head. The chronic to Jesus, it's why he's not dead. Ramesh Ranganathan, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, good, thank you. How are you?
That last line was a reference to your Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast, which was also picked as one of the podcasts of 2016.
Yeah, how do they pick those?
No idea. Just emailed me to let me know. In fact, they emailed me after someone had sent me a screenshot saying, hey, you've been picked, and I was just below Ramesh Ranganathan, Hip Hop Saved My Life. I was like, whatever, mate. He puts out one every 2 months or some
shit.
Well,
we're
cheers,
regular
guys.
Now, mate. We're doing
you're regular. You're
yeah,
on
oh, mate.
I saw you had a Yoda on recently. I haven't listened. Is it a good one? I love Yoda.
The problem is, the difference between you and myself is that you have, like, really great guests on, and then you sort of talk to them on a level.
Yeah.
When I get a really great guest on, I just become a twat and just sort of, like, really sort of sycophantic and just no what you mean
yeah no
like, it's really
yeah,
bad
yeah, yeah, yeah no I've been on it was lovely
yeah,
so I mean we'll talk about everything. It's been a hell of a year with Asian Provocateur being one of the runaway hits of BBC and you've got to be the main Christmas DVD, right? Oh, what
other
shit's
out
this year?
I don't think so,
what's ahead of you?
Billy Connolly's ahead of me.
Oh, Billy Connolly. Oh, just get last year's, get any year's.
Yeah, I know.
For fuck's sake.
You just sort of think it's the same, innit?
Yeah.
And then
what colour's his beard this year?
I know. Let's watch his descent, do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, fucking anyway. I came to the filming of your DVD and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I wondered if you'd any marketing people or PR team had pushed you to do an overdub. Taking out Iggy Azalea's name and swapping it with Honey G to be topical.
Well, to
irrelevant.
Be current, Ramesh, we really want to bring you up to the current.
Yeah, because you've got a wonderful bit about how Iggy Azalea is essentially a minstrel show how it's quite offensive. And then Honey G's happened, which is the same thing. So
I do think that...
Just dub it over, mate.
I think I'm going to have to...
You'll knock Billy off the top.
What we might do is... Because to be honest with you, I feel creatively spent.
Yeah.
So I think at the moment...
Good to have you on.
Thank you. At the moment, the talk is that I'm going to write a new show, but I don't think I will. I think what we'll do is we'll just bring out Irrational again.
Yeah.
And then just overdub some of the stuff that's a bit out of date.
Perfect.
Like, so Honey G will be one of them.
Yep.
Be like when George Lucas brought out the prequels again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's
yeah,
just God. Another Bamfer in the background yeah. or whatever. That's what we're going to do.
Shoals.
Yeah.
Can you...
I watched
can
them
you
again the other day. They, yeah. they haven't aged well. Any
no.
of that is just... It's just trash.
Can yeah. you see Jeremy in the background?
I'd love to, mate.
Because I was out the front watching, but I'd like to be in the back just chilling.
Just on a chair. Would you want to be standing up or on a chair or something?
Standing up, yeah, it's more awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Just stood there looming.
And just really sort
I'm very
of,
tall. I'm taller than everyone expects. So really
just
looming
sort of straight
over
face.
You.
We're just looking yeah. like you're hating it.
Kind of haunting the stage.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, we can do that.
I'm up for that. Well, let's go on to guest number two. I said we're going on to guest number two.
Sorry.
Jesus, still talking.
I've just got so much more gold to deliver.
obviously, we're going to be drinking and getting drunk, so people should know that. There's going to be noises and drinking and eating. On to our next guest. Oh, Brett Goldstein, oh, Brett Goldstein, how lovely are your eyebrows? Approximately?
Seven.
Seven, they are. They're lovely. How are you, Brett Goldstein?
How are you, Scroobius Pip? Thank
I'm
you
good.
For having me. I'm very honoured to be here.
I'm excited to have you.
Huge fan of these two.
Of these two idiots.
This one.
Wow. Just throw that in as an afterthought. Jesus Christ.
Critically expecting
me to take
everyone
in this room.
Or
everyone
too drunk.
In this room.
Hell of a year for you as well.
Hell of a year.
Award-winning actor.
Yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very exciting, yeah.
And your acceptance speech was the best acceptance speech I've ever seen, and you weren't even there.
Thank you very much, thank you.
I thought it was a good. Bit, I thought you overrated it a bit. The whole letter thing, come on, mate.
But he didn't read it out, so
no,
he
I
can't
know.
Be over-egging it. That's kind of the beauty of it.
No, but it was,
Jody
I just
it.
Thought, no, I didn't think, I think Jody delivered it perfectly.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
the problem is, the letter was too long. You know, the gag
you could
has,
see that in her
the
eyes.
Yeah, the
I
gag, has,
yeah.
The gag
well.
Has played out. Everyone's
yeah,
had
yeah.
a laugh. And then still, there's this bloody heartfelt bullshit from
yeah.
Brett. You've got to plough
yeah,
through.
Yeah.
Everyone's
yeah.
sitting like, we know what's happened here.
But you've seen my
you
Edinburgh
do work,
shows.
I was going to say, you do work a lot better with an editor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, Jodie delivers my stuff. But, and now I've
yeah.
sent her to do 99 Club gigs. Junkers for me.
You should get her to do your Edinburgh show
yeah.
for you.
It's
Brett
a
Goldstein.
Real improvement.
Well, there we go. We've got our guests. It's Christmas, obviously, at this point. Do you celebrate Christmas, Ramesh?
I celebrate in as much as, you know, we don't go to midnight mass or anything.
Yeah, you just party.
But we do, like, I've got kids, so you have to sort of
have to celebrate.
Make some sort of effort, do you know what I mean? Like, they get really into it. It's pretty big at our house.
It's exciting.
How many kids?
7, 5 and 2.
They're hyped for Christmas then, aren't they?
Yeah, the 5 year old is properly nuts for it. The other two are into. I mean, the 2 year old's not really.
No, everyone's really jaded. Have you already broken there?
He's his father's son. Let's put it that way. He started right. to see behind the.
Cracks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but yeah, so we have to go big.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you've got to make up for all the hatred you put across in your live show.
Well, they don't know. They don't know any of that. So
you're
I'm sort of.
That.
What I'm thinking is lots of presents now while they're still talking to me, and then obviously we'll cross that bridge.
They're like sponges. They're going to just absorb all that love now, so by
yeah.
the time they see all that, you know, vitriol, they won't care.
Yeah,
totally
that's what I'm
fine.
Hoping.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some presents for you. Have you got some presents as well, Chris? You've got cupcakes
well, I've got
as
cupcakes
well.
For us, but I only found out when I saw a tweet this morning that you're vegan.
So you can't have a cupcake?
Yeah.
Mate.
Do you know what? You've actually made me happy because
oh,
most
okay.
people go, oh, I was always banging on about being vegan. So it's nice to actually hear that somebody didn't know.
Didn't know, yeah. Was
until I tweeted it this morning, as I do every morning.
another vegan morning. good to be here. Do you know Reese's Pieces are vegan?
Get the shit out of my face. Are you serious?
A Reese's Pieces are on the list of accidentally vegan sweets.
What are what about peanut butter cups? Are they vegan?
The peanut butter cups are not, because
okay.
they have milk, chocolate in them. The,
oh, okay.
the Reese's Pieces have soya extract and soya milk. So,
right. Why do you know this? Just out of interest.
I know a few vegans. And,
right.
He knows a couple of vegans.
I'm respectful to my vegan friends, unlike Chris, who just like,
yeah.
fuck it, I'll make some cupcakes, don't
yeah.
care what you're...
And then to emphasise that there were vegan cupcakes there.
Yeah.
So what is this what's in this
that's
fucking
what's
box?
What's in there,
here?
Mate? You might as well chuck it. it's nice. I'm not going to eat them.
Explain the cakes.
Send
Chris.
Them out.
Explain the cakes.
So these are by Wilma's Cupcakery, and they're all different flavours, but there's all different booze in there as well.
So these are alcoholic cupcakes.
Yeah. They've done you a Scroobius.
Classic Craig. Oh, they've done me a Scroobius.
Yeah, which is that one now.
Oh, amazing.
So it's supposedly the Pepsi Max colours, but I've not looked at the bottle long
enough.
Gin
and Pepsi Max, that's good. Yeah. I mean, just starting off, mine have fallen out the packaging, so you could have been more careful with them, Chris, mate.
That was Stu carrying them.
Ramesh, don't feel too left out. I've got you a present, and it's vegan, so we'll get to that shortly.
Right, cheers, mate. Thank you.
Mine's an absolute massacre.
Yeah.
I notice yours are okay, though. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Yours is the only box that hasn't been fucking smashed to pieces.
This is really
number one.
Quite hard to open the packaging, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dive in.
Thank you very
much. they were hoping this is going to be a big up.
Yeah. They smell delicious. They smell boozy. Yeah, they smell beautifully boozy.
There's plenty of booze in there. You've got one's a margarita one. You've got one here for you, Stu. That's a rum and ginger beer, which is what you asked for.
Okay.
That's about it. I can't remember all the flavours.
Fucking hell. Why have you put them out on display? You don't even know what they are, mate.
Just have a list. Have a little label. I looked at the inside of the packaging to see if there was a little breakdown. Like on a box of roses. Come on, Jesus.
2 hours ago, you were given 9 cupcakes. And it didn't occur to you to know any of the things. That I'll remember that. Don't worry about us.
I genuinely also thought that as well.
Just one meeting as they're handing over so quickly.
She was pointing them out to me going, this is that. And I was going, yeah, sure. I heard like 3. One's got Green Label whiskey in it. The end. That's all we need to know.
I'm going to give presents out now.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to start with Chris and Stu.
Okay.
Because they're the regulars.
Yeah.
Let me just reach into my Santa's sack. Stu.
Oh, thank you very much.
They look like a Captain America shield, doesn't it? Chris.
Okay. Can I open it?
Open them on the show.
You like wrapping as well, don't you? You've always been a bit of a fan. Spider-Man wrapping paper.
Yeah. Actually, yours two are poorly wrapped because they're awkward shapes. So I put a lot of care into wrapping Brett's because it was an easier shape, and I was very proud of.
I like to have good wrapping.
I'm very excited about this.
That's
the shit.
Yeah, wow.
So it is an audio podcast. So feel free to watch this. Oh wow, that's amazing.
Oh my god.
I've got an amazing sign for my bar.
So it's a wooden carved a whiff in sign. For your bar.
Yeah, he's dope.
It's by a company called Clear Cut Creations. Again, all of these sound like they're plugs. They 100% are. So Clear Cut Creations made these. I followed them on Instagram for ages. And yeah, they just cut into wood. So you've got a whiff-in sign for in your bar. And Chris has got a Craig's Dojo sign. I like when kids
pretty amazing
put their name on their bedroom door. So you can
at my parents' house, I've still got my name on there.
No girls. Chris is dead.
No girls allowed.
Chris is dead.
Wicked. Thank
that's
you.
Really cool. Thank
it's all right. They're good, so, isn't they? They come up well.
It's not done by that dude who made that metal sign of your face that we met in a back alley randomly in Birmingham.
We were DJing in Birmingham once, and me and Chris popped out at night in dark to go and just get some food, and a guy just went and whistled, and we looked round, and leaning on his foot and twiddling it was 4 foot, 5 foot steel cutout of my face.
What?
That he'd made, and I forgot I'd asked him to.
You'd asked him to?
I'd asked him to as a stage prop. He hadn't told me he was going to just turn up in a random.
Could he talk? Or did he just whistle?
He just whistled.
He said, bring the steel cut out. I don't want people to know about it. Just whistle when you see it. I'll come
just
over
just whistle
and
in an alleyway. Yeah. I'll be in one. That was weird. But no, this is a different guy. But they're based on the t-shirt designs. We're wearing our Drunk Cast t-shirts. Would you like to know who's in the lead on sales?
I would actually, yeah.
Because Ramesh has never heard the Drunk Cast, Brett has. We got these t-shirts designed based on different stories, we've told, and we released them as kind of a competition thing. Mm-hmm. And in second place at the moment.
That's last.
No.
There's 3 of us here, Ramesh.
Oh, you've got a story as well?
Yeah, all 3 of us.
Okay, fine.
As well,
fair enough. As the host, I know. But
I'm not enough.
No, because you're such a big deal, I thought you wouldn't need a story. I thought it's just you, innit? Yeah. Your existence is a story, and we're all following it.
It pretty much is just a picture of me on the back of the fireball. So, Stu's in second place.
Oh. I'll take that.
Well done, mate.
Thanks.
Thanks. You're going to blatantly take it with a black T-shirt.
In last place is Chris. And number one is me! Yeah! Go fuck yourself.
That feels really
well played.
Next gift.
Who'd have thought he'd win with his, all his with fan his base?
It's who'd have thought on sale in my web store? I would be the most popular of the three on sale exclusively in my web store.
That's like a competitive dad, isn't it? Beating his kid.
Ramesh, the next gift is for you. It's the only one that's not wrapped, but there's a reason.
Oh. Okay, fine.
It was meant to be delivered this morning at 9 a.m.
Right.
Or before 9 a.m. I had to come in for an audition beforehand. Can't talk about it, but let's just say you might want to make these Scroobius drinks shaken, not stirred. It was meant to be delivered.
Fucking hell, Star Wars. Shit.
It was meant to be delivered at 9 a.m. It wasn't.
They're redoing Willow.
So the guy who made them, the company made them, got a train down from Bristol to bring it to London just so you could have it.
Are you serious, dude?
You got a train down from Bristol today and dropped them off at Soho Radio where we're
recording.
Oh my
god!
So it's amazing.
Still picture of his face.
It's really. So pretend you're unwrapping this.
Okay. Holy shit, dude!
It's
hip. I know about this, dude.
Yeah, it's a Hip Hop Manager card game. They're not out yet. I've got them before they're out.
Shit, bruv. This is sick, mate.
It looks amazing.
Oh, they my
hit me
God.
Up. It was a bit of a letdown because they hit me up and I said, oh, well, I've got this podcast coming up and Ramesh is on. He's a hip hop head. I'd love to give them to him. And they went, that's perfect because we messaged him to send him a free pack as well. So that doesn't make it quite so perfect because now I'm just getting his free pack through me as a gift. But
he's
it's
so
basically
delighted.
Okay, well, look, I'm just going to hold on. I'm just going to give you a little. Right, I just want to test you on this, Pit.
Excellent.
Right, just to see if these ratings. Okay, so. In front of me is Be Real and Tupac, right?
Oh, right, wicked.
And they're rated on... It's like Top Trumps.
It's like Top Trumps. And basically, so, the card game is you're a manager. It's based in 1995, and you're a manager, and you have to build a label of rappers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So at the moment, I've got in front of me Be Real and Tupac, right?
Yeah.
So they're rated on flow, rhymes, voice, and then they've got a total here, which is fairly easy to work out from the previous three numbers. But who do you think's got better flow... At a B reel and flow.
I think on the cards they'd give it to Tupac.
Okay, and what would you? Are you saying that you disagree?
I've never been a big Tupac fan, so right. I've not listened to enough. But I think flow generally, yeah, they'd give it to Tupac.
Yeah,
yeah, everyone.
Yeah,
Chris,
roughly agree with that.
Pretty much.
Okay, B reel. B reel has got two. Tupac, three.
Yep.
There you go.
I don't know what it's out of. It could be out of 100. Both of them are fucking dog shit.
Not fans of Tupac and B reel.
Rhymes. I don't.
Oh, see, I love B-Reels and Rhymes, always have done, but
Tupac. Or people who don't go to rap gigs love Tupac.
Yeah.
Who's made
this? Anytime you hear. Like, anytime between.
Who's made this? It's the Tupac Shakur's
Tupac.
So I should have mentioned that. I should have mentioned that before.
It's two lads from Bristol. If you look on Twitter, it's Hip Hop Card Game.
Yeah.
Just to give that a plug and a shout out. But,
like, are they making it for, like.
Are they making it for hip hop heads?
Or for idiots?
No, I mean, no disrespect. I mean, they're making it.
You just literally just watched me get excited about it straight away.
Are they making it for
fucking morons? They've got no lives whatsoever. They should probably just fucking kill themselves. Is that who they're making it for?
Merry Christmas.
Gareth in the office was doing a Top Trumps, wasn't he? What was that for? Monster Trucks.
Memorise a card.
They make a point that apparently you don't.
You won't be me.
You don't have to know about hip hop to play the game, but it's got to help, and you've got to be more excited if you know about them. But
anyway, I'm just going to bring this to a quick swift close.
Can we go to voice?
Yeah, voice.
Because B-Real should be top of everyone.
Yeah, totally.
Hands down.
He wasn't going to be in Cypress Hill if he didn't do something new. He said he nearly didn't quite make it because...
What do you mean? Is it an audition like X Factor or something?
It's like when they were putting the crew together and it was going to be Sendog who was going to be the main rapper.
What the fuck?
Jesus Christ!
I'm not joking.
Yeah. Seriously?
Can you imagine if that
had sliding doors I'd like to see.
I know, yeah.
Cypress Hill sell 8 records. Sendog's the main guy.
Slow, heavy draw.
Every track is like some guy just needs a shit.
There's that thing that apparently you're more... You make better decisions if you need to go to the toilet. And I think Sendog knew that early on. So prior to every session, he just really drinks a lot and eats a lot.
David Cameron, like always would drink so much water that he really needed a piss every time he was doing public speaking.
Oh, really? Because
he really believed it would give him some sort of like
energy.
Yeah.
I heard he started doing that after he failed the Cypress Hill auditions.
He'd emptied his bladder beforehand.
That's why he'd always walk off like that at the end of every.
And that's why, do you know when he did that closing thing when he said, like, there'll be a new Prime Minister? And then he walked off and he's whistling. You know, he's
whistling.
It's because he needed to go so badly. Anyway, just so you know, for voice, Tupac got 4, as did Be Real.
Oh, okay.
But I disagree.
Interesting.
I disagree.
Tupac is
I disagree.
No, I can understand it, but I'd always go Be Real.
Yeah, he's got the most distinctive voice. It's legendary.
Like that.
That's it. Oh, what was that, Chris?
Was that Chris?
It's like that.
That's
it. I could rap a whole verse, but not drunk enough. We'll leave that for later.
So the last present is for Brett, and this is the most exciting of the presents.
I want a better present then, mate. Don't play mine down.
Well, that's still a nice present, Chris. And at least...
Oh, can we just comment on how beautiful the wrapping is?
Yes. Done that well.
And you did that yourself?
Very well, yep.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that wrapping paper from, bro?
The card shop near me in Corinham.
They've got
Corinham
Spider-Man.
Town Centre. They've got Spider-Man, but as Christmas. So it's Spider-Man shooting little lights. Like,
I thought you got it from a
special. I mean, really?
Brett, do you want to just... We've already noticed the best present. Do you want to hurry up and open it, mate?
You're all prepared to get excited.
It's a like it's in a separate shoe box with a ribbon, and it's dead. It's a
That is brilliant.
Oh my god, dude! That is sick, man.
That is ridiculous.
Oh my.
Let's never say what it was. That's so
that brilliant.
That's got to be 12 inches.
And what has that got? 3 speeds.
Right. That's fucking beautiful.
That is fucking unbelievable. It is.
That is going straight up me.
Thank you. Shall we reveal what it is, just so it's not continuing to be
it's a good. It's a good quality plastic.
It is. How did you do this?
It's
miracle.
How did you make it white clean? Like well, basically, I'd got everyone else a gift, and I hadn't found one for you. And I was walking around, and I was like, for some reason, I was convinced I was going to find a toy that looked like Brett. And I thought it'd be a gnome, or like a Christmas elf, or a gnome, because he's got rosy red cheeks and dark eyebrows. But I saw this action man that, I mean, he needed a paint job, he needed a cape made. So I've kind of hand painted and turned him into Super Bob.
You hand painted this.
You hand painted that, mate.
And look at he's got his name. He's got his little.
He's got his little. I mean, the details. And Craig's got my dick. I'm so impressed and touched.
That is
really lovely. He's got my,
it really does put into perspective an unwrapped pack of cards
that were being sent to you anyway. And Pip just basically took the place of DPD in that transaction.
And
you're a postman.
An intercepted unwrapped pack of cards.
Merry Christmas, mate.
Oh, who's that for? No, I'll give it to him.
He'll like that.
It's a credit card from Barclays.
I was standing outside your house. I'll sign for that. I'll sign for that. Merry Christmas. Amazing. If I was a postman, I'd say Merry Christmas. I'd give to the people.
That is brilliant, man. Mate, that is really genuinely a beautiful gift. Thank you very much.
If you look,
I have
I've thickened his eyebrows slightly because you've got thick eyebrows. I added a little touch of paint. No, it's mentioned in Super Bowl. And in Corner Boys. We do talk about it in Corner Boys.
Well, it must be really horrible to be a really good looking guy that's got eyebrows that are slightly too thick. what a horrible hang up to live with, you fucking.
You don't know what it's like.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, well, there you go. That's the
thank
gift.
Thank you. Wow.
Right, I'll see you guys next year.
What did you get for Pip?
Pardon? What did I get? I accepted these shitty cards with good grace. That's his present.
That is a beautiful gift. What is everyone drinking tonight? You're on the... Oh, we should mention, we've got some beers from Beer Hawk. They sent them for free, and Beer Hawk were sponsors last week on the podcast, and they do... You basically become a member, and they send, like, the best beers... from around the world, and you've also got some beers from Love Beer, who's talking about your
Love the Beer.
No, I thought I was on a podcast, not a fucking QVC.
We're gonna start cutting up carrots in a minute.
And listen, how did he get it to taste like this? Mate, we started off by plugging your fucking DVD, so...
What mascara do I use on my eyebrows? Good question.
Oh, and speaking of which, I've also bought you each a copy of the Rob Alton album, available on Speech Development Records. Hey! It's available on speechdevelopmentrecords.co.uk.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Love Rob Alton.
But yeah, anyway...
I saw an advert for something... Did I see the advert for this, or is he doing a tour at the moment?
He's doing a tour next year. He's touring his show, The Sleep Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what the video we did for this is from. But yeah, that's just an album of Rob. I took my podcast gear to Rob's living room, literally started it recording and walked out the door and came back an hour later and took it back. And that's what the album is.
Oh,
he just talked
for
an hour, just did spoken word. It's brilliant.
Have you listened to it back?
No.
Hanged it out. These titles have no connection with what the content is. Pip just thought of the first few words that he could think
of. It's just an hour of him going, where the fuck did Pip go?
How do I start this recording?
I think it's a mistake, Pip. Pip?
It's an hour audio of Coronation Street and then the news.
Him going, that was weird. He didn't even say hello.
What's this about?
Edgy.
So anyway, obviously we normally make a load of notes. I should tell people that the first hour is just going to be catching up and talking about stuff and what we've been up to. And then we'll get on to a review in the year and the topics and stuff like that. I've got notes of stuff that we need to talk about. I want to talk about Ramesh's tour and his DVD and his TV show. Brett, we've already talked about your fucking award and your speech. I did watch Super Bob again, though, a couple of nights ago. And I think it's made it into my top 10 all time.
Whoa. Scroobius, Pip.
Genuinely.
Films with a guy called Bobbin.
All superhero movies.
So I've got that. I've got I went to the Houses of Parliament. I've got a note, which I don't remember, is when me and Chris were drunk and he told me a story of Chris playing Ghostbusters in a casino, then phoning his mate Ben, and then something about a wheelchair. So we'll get to that.
We spoke about that today, didn't we?
Yeah.
Stu...
any story that starts with something about a wheelchair, aren't it? Go on.
Stu saved a guy's life.
I've got a wheelchair story, actually.
Have you? Yeah.
Films I don't want to see. A dream I had... some fight stuff and Stu DJ in Dartford because we forgot to tell that last month. A training place I go to and go into the Houses of Parliament. So, what would anyone like to start with?
There's a lot. I've got my notes, but they're on my laptop all the way over there. So,
I can refresh your mind.
Thanks for preparing, mate.
On a little thing that I really want to talk about.
What do you want to talk about, Stu?
Well, obviously, we got a text from Chris a couple of days ago going, I've just been attacked by a dog.
No, it wasn't even that. It said, turns out being involved in a dog attack isn't a good thing. So involved in a dog attack, it doesn't sound like he was attacked.
Did you attack a dog?
It doesn't sound like it was involved in a dog attack.
It also sounds like it's something he'd planned and was originally on board with. and then regretted later on.
It sort of got out of hand.
It was one of them texts that was meant to get a far bigger reaction than us.
Your reaction was brilliant. You went, sounds good.
Sounds cool. And then you went, what did he say?
No, I mean hospital.
Hospital's cool. Hospital's cool.
To be fair, my first comment was like, I was a little bit in shock, and then I said, turns out getting involved in a dog attack isn't that cool. And you put, sounds cool, which made me chuckle, and I thought, why have I even started?
Well, obviously,
like
I wanted to
you.
Be a wanker to you straight away, because I just went, it's fucking great, he's been bit by a dog. Straight away, you got in there, and I just thought, because I was thinking, I can't be horrible. If you asked, because you didn't actually say what had happened. And
no,
I just thought, if you've, bit in your face, that's
fine.
Oh,
I didn't give a fuck. No, I was straight in with cunt in your
mouth. He didn't give a fuck.
So what happened?
And you were too scared to go, no,
I did phone you up.
Mate.
I phoned you up and asked.
Yeah, once I could feel my hands and I'd stop crying and stuff like that.
Ramesh, to fill you in here, Chris has a history of making up dogs.
I do.
He posted a picture of a cute puppy he'd got on Facebook just to see how people would react.
Over 100 likes.
Over 100 likes and people went crazy for his dog. He didn't have the
Mr.
dog.
Mr. Dr. Snuggles, Jesus. Was it?
Mr.
Dr. Snuggles.
I think we ended up, then later on, as everyone, as the it rolled on. I think I renamed him Captain McSnuggles.
Captain
McSnuggles. And everyone was still buying it. I was having ex-girlfriends contact me, wanting to, you know, just hang out again. Yeah. And it's like...
Off the dog?
Yeah, off the dog. Off
what has happened in their lives? Fucking hell.
Oh, he's got a dog, so only things are looking up for it.
How fucking dark was your existence before? Yeah.
Finally, his life's turned round.
It's not the same as turning up in a Ferrari, is it?
Oh, things are looking up for Chris. Now you've got yourself a dog.
You might have found it. It looked like a rescue.
I've since bought a dog.
Chris has temporarily rescued a dog.
Yeah, but it shows the style of relationship that we have. That I instantly googled cute dogs, and it was the fourth picture on Google images for cute dogs. Just had no trust in him.
Didn't even go page two.
No.
No trust in him, and no trust that I'd have to look that far.
Page two ain't that cute.
Chris ain't going to have gone far. But yes. So
did you believe when you got a text saying being involved in a dog attack? Did you think? Well, oh, here we go.
To be honest, I didn't care enough to question it.
Okay.
So what happened with your dog attack? Come on.
I took my mate's dog for a walk, and it got attacked by a staff.
It got attacked by a staff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a dog attack. It was dog on dog violence.
Dog on dog.
What? It was hiding in the bush.
Literally, he came out with his own.
He suggested
both fired in the
premeditated.
Bush. Yeah, fucking hell. How long had he been waiting?
Yeah. It looked like some time.
Just been following the patterns. Yeah, apparently he's getting a mate round to walk him tomorrow.
He's not going to have as much control. He's not as careful.
So yeah.
Why were you walking it? Had your mate previously been attacked by a dog in a bush?
He was in hospital with dog bites.
Yeah. You walked a dog. It's a different thing. It's totally unrelated. No, can't take him out.
You walked a dog. I ain't going near that park.
Sure. Can I walk him anywhere else? He really likes that park, mate. All right.
So a dog was that is horrible.
It was honestly top five.
I care
worst
more
things.
Now. I know it's a dog that got hurt rather than
crazy,
you.
Yeah.
Top five worst things
that I've been involved
a dog
in
a park.
Yeah. It was horrid. Like the staff.
Another crazy. Another crazy story
pieces.
To come. Go on, continue.
And I don't know if you've obviously seen staffs and probably been around them, but
did you have to put a thumb
really
up the bum?
Well, I didn't know that trick.
Yeah.
So I used my penis. I literally had to stick my thumb into his eye and push it back about
what?
An inch. Yeah, it was that crazy.
That's horrendous.
It was absolutely nuts.
That's happened 5 minutes before the morning.
You did used to bite a lot of dogs.
Yeah,
though.
Oh, mate.
Jumping out of bushes.
I've gone vegan now, but fuck
no,
it's a lover dog.
Can I ask a little bit of detail here?
Yeah, sure.
The dog is fighting, it's clamped down. You panic.
Yeah, yeah.
You think I'll step towards the dog and stick my thumb in his
eye. You wrestle with the jaws first, yeah?
You tried something
else?
We've
got a new thing for Craig's dojo. Yeah. It's dog wrestling.
Dog wrestling.
Yeah, no.
I better stick my thumb in his eye.
Honestly, I was rolling around with it for about about 2 minutes.
Like body slamming and, it.
Yeah, a couple of
DDTs. Where was the owner of this other dog?
Yeah. Hey, that owner was on the dog too.
So you're both wrestling the same dog.
I beat it. I actually hit it as hard as I could multiple times.
Where?
Without doing anything. Just in his body. A couple of body shots.
Trying to spin
got his kidney. Didn't have
why
time.
Why did you go for the body? Were you worried about potential arrest?
You didn't want plastic surgery in the face.
Wearing glasses.
Yeah, just like you would do with normal domestic violence.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought to do.
Yeah.
And that, it's a bunched muscle. So after a bit, yeah,
body,
I just
body
did
head.
That. It was good.
Did its eye pop back?
Its eye, so I thought I must have blinded it because it let go, and then there was a bit of commotion and whatnot, and the staff looked like he had a bit. He looked sad, but he didn't look like it. I think I just pushed it straight back as opposed to.
Do you think that's because he hurt his eye or just sort of regretted what he'd done?
I shouldn't have been hiding in that bush.
Maybe he's calmed down, maybe because he had two blokes on top of him, he's just got tired, you know. But we've all been there. So, it was weird. And I had these guys being, you know,
God, that's
really
so
nice
anyone.
And deep.
You put the thumb in, how long did you have the thumb in? Like, did the dog go?
No, it wasn't even an immediate reaction. I probably was doing that for about 40 seconds and having to push harder and harder and harder. Yeah. I felt awful doing it as well.
Yeah,
despite thinking that the dog I was walking was dying, it was horrible. He was screaming his head off. Screaming. What noise
they bark.
Is the dog?
Barking.
That's a technical term. I didn't think you know it. It's sort of dog.
I know you've been through a lot of dogs.
Why would you know that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a mate's dog. It's not like you're a dog owner. Yeah, yeah. Couldn't expect you to know.
I'm not a dog expert.
You've googled
whining. I think whining is what it was doing.
Cute dog screaming.
God, 100 likes. Horrible. Yeah, but it's all good.
What did the owner say? Get your thumb out of his eye? Or was the owner
he was screaming. He was like in shock as well.
Oh. Mm. What did your mate say when you brought back
his dog? He was all right about it.
Was
if
the dog
he was
right?
there, Nick would have probably, I don't know.
Nick, down the other eye.
Nick's a farmer. He often has those Leatherman penknives. Yeah. So he'd have probably just
stabbed it.
Stabbed it.
Jesus, that's a big jump to accuse Nick of. He's not here to defend himself. Yeah, yeah. Nick probably would have
killed it
instantly, wouldn't have thought twice.
It's always carrying.
So you know, Nick.
You've enjoyed it. That's it.
Good old Nick.
Then he would have gone and killed some other ones.
He's not.
Just for the hell of it.
Got a taste for it. Yeah.
Didn't end there, though, did it, Chris?
Probably wouldn't have got... It probably wouldn't have bitten the dog.
Then what happened?
Spotted a dog in a bush, gone, kill that. Kill that potential threat.
That probably weren't the... I don't think that was the most traumatic part because the next night I had to. We had a club night.
No.
What, the dog came
up. I want to know. Tell them what happened when you got to the vets because that weren't the full extent of your injuries.
Yeah,
was
I forgot that.
So you've been bitten or something?
Yeah, a little bit, but nothing major. You know, they've. You know, look.
Oh, he's lost two fingers.
but I showed up at the vets. I didn't realise until sort of like the dog had gone in. They'd taken the dog in, but they were like, "Do you want to get yourself cleaned up, mate?" And I was like, oh, okay. Just went to the toilet to wash, you know, my hands, all the blood off my hands, and realised I had fox shit all over my forehead, all up my arms, and I didn't even notice. I was in shock.
Mate.
I was,
fox shit. How do you know it was fox shit?
And it's one of the most foul smelling suckers.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. And
you took a dog out for a walk with fox shit all over your face.
No wonder the fucking Staffy attack, mate. It's like spreading pedigree chomble over yourself, mate.
It's good for the skin. It's good for the skin.
Is under attack.
Yeah, no. In the car up there, I was like, that staff stunk. And then I was in shock. I probably shouldn't have driven. But.
You got shit on your face, mate. Yeah. Oh, my bad.
Did you feel like freaking him out by going, no, I had that on from before?
Yeah. You should have gone and really cleaned up except for that. Okay, so can I have my dog back now, please, guys?
So what, you took the dog back to your mate, Nick, with the knife, and he said, go to the vet, or you went straight to the vet?
No, I went straight up there to the vets, and then... Nipped off, after that to the hospital. But there was nothing really wrong with me. I just had a tetanus jab and whatnot. Yeah. And
they were like, the staff?
The staff looked he looked really sad after he'd done it.
Bit boss-eyed.
You know, but, I think they've got, I don't know what action they're going to take with the staff now. But, he was saying he's going to have it put down, but then...
The staffs are absolutely are lovely, but are no worse than any other dog, because they're so powerful... When there is an argument or confrontation, it's something brutal and horrible. If that was a little dog, that they would have yapped at each other or kicked off, probably wouldn't have gone that far. But because they're built so brutally, it's kind of, if there's a small incident, it's often causes them to get put down and stuff like that, which is
if you cover yourself in fox shit around
Don't do that. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, they're not into it. So,
If they start barking,
he ain't done that. Sorry, I was going to move on. So Chris,
so this is the day before our club night,
Yeah. So I didn't have I'm moving at the moment, and I left a lot of my trousers and my jeans in a lockup. And so I was like, I've got my trousers. Yeah, just basically,
you've got to do that with the high value items. Yeah.
Go on. Those spliffy jeans.
Your naff jacket in there.
Yeah.
You kept that probably.
It's coming back. So I didn't have a lot of a choice, and I was like, okay, there's only one place I could really be bothered to have a quick look in, which was Tesco's the other day.
Right.
So their jean selection is fucking absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
They're all like 34/30s, 36/30s.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, stocking them for dwarves.
Yeah.
And
it's that time of year.
I never bought any. Yeah, so I ended up buying a pair of jeans from Tesco's for our club night.
Oh,
so
wow, I bet you look like the coolest kid in Shoreditch.
That was the tragedy about it. And
club night in Shoreditch in Tesco's jeans.
Yeah, and I'm wearing them right now. So
oh, wow.
You thought, oh, God.
Are you for real?
No. Honestly, he's from Tesco's.
No, they're not.
Straight up. Now you guys are going to go shopping in Tesco's.
Yeah, lovely.
And what's the Tesco brand? Really
awesome. Yeah, I know. And that's what fucked me off even more, man, because they were 30-inch leg. And for my whole life, I thought I was like regular 32, but no, short ass.
Well, I'm glad we revealed that on the podcast.
So it took you buying a pair of Tesco's jeans to work out your own height?
My own height.
Right, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Tesco's gave you that clarity.
www.redshiftrebels, which is Chrissy's clothes label as well.
Yeah, he's got clothes labels, so check that out. Definitely want to head
drawing
there.
Influence from Tesco's George, spring summer 2017.
George's Asda, mate. So just there isn't even a story here, but me and Chris were out at the wrestling again a few weeks back at Progress, and I returned from the bar and Chris was talking to a girl, and the only bit I heard was him say, "So I said to my sensei," and that's my favourite sentence I've overheard in a start. So I don't know what that story was, or where it went. I don't know if I want to, but
man. I've got game.
So I said to my sensei, "What's your favourite?" Where do we want to go next on our notes? Ramesh, how's it been? Being on the road and touring extensively this year and doing a TV show and everything else. Are you exhausted?
No. Tour's been good. I don't ever want to say that show ever again.
Yeah.
In my life.
How many times did you have to say it?
150.
Oh, shit. Comedians do not fuck about. Like a rapper or band has a tour, and if there's 20, 30 dates, people are like, ooh.
But
extensive tour. Comedians,
comedy is a piece of piss by comparison, isn't it? I mean, you are just sort of...
How often did you add to it over 150?
Once, I told someone to fuck off.
Okay.
It's just that I was off the cuff as
that
well.
That was lying.
I
mean,
wow.
It didn't do that every night.
Yeah.
keep that in.
You do change up a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I talked about Trump for a while.
How'd that go?
That's
down?
Done now, isn't it?
It went down all right, but there were some places where... Oh, actually, I had two people walk out.
Really?
Because of what I said about Trump. Yeah, like there were two... I was in Belfast, and there were two Trump supporters.
Oh, really?
And I said what I thought about him, and then two people just got up and walked out in disgust.
No
way. Yeah, so that was good.
That's unfortunate. Wow.
We did a comedy gig as well.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Brigstock has been saying a lot that the Brexit stuff has been, and we'll talk about this in the roundup of the year, has been his hardest thing as a touring comedian he remembers.
Well,
it's been so polarising in his sets, and normally he can attack anything. If people agree, they agree. If they don't, they don't. That's kind of a comedy show, but he's really struggled because he's like, I want to talk about it. I want to address it. It's relevant, but I'm turning people off, and... Mm. It's causing real tension, and it's odd. You wouldn't expect Trump to be one that's having a similar...
No, I mean, you sort of think Trump is safer ground than Brexit.
Yeah,
but the I think the thing is that it just depends, doesn't it? Because it sort of used to happen with, like, when comedians talk about religion. You sort of hear most comedians talk about religion, and they talk about it as if the perceived understanding of everyone is that God doesn't exist, right? And then you sort of think, okay, fine... You believe that, but there might be someone that has faith in the... You know, the assumption is atheism is default. And I think that's the thing when you talk about Brexit. You might... Because you and your peers believe a certain viewpoint, the temptation is to assume that everyone feels like that, and they don't. So, it's difficult. You can say something contentious, or what you don't believe is contentious, but it could be contentious to someone else. Mm. You either present it like that's just your opinion, or that's how everybody thinks. Do you know what I mean? And I do a thing where I sort of in the show I sort of talk about UKIP.
Yeah.
And most of the time people sort of are happy to sort of hear UKIP kind of get a bit of shit.
Yeah.
But some places you can feel it that you're in a UKIP sort of where they've got a lot of support,
bizarre,
and then it's more difficult
it?
To sort of sell those. It's more difficult to sell those bits. You feel like it's a bit more sort of you're antagonizing people a bit more than in other places. Do you know what I mean? But that's actually quite exciting because comedy arguably is safer than it's ever been. So if you have an opportunity to sort of do something that's a little bit...
Yeah, if you do something not preaching to the choir,
exactly.
Does that affect your delivery when you're in those sort of areas? Like, say, for example, I think Dagenham, which is kind of close to us in Essex, that's got quite a strong UKIP following. If you go to an area where you think it's going to be a bit, you know, a bit more funny, how do you get more nervous when you go to deliver them? Because surely that would... if you look nervous when you're going to deliver a joke like that, it probably incites a bit more of a
bad reaction. With stand up, it's very much like a confidence game, you know. And like if you look like you're doubting what you're saying, then you're probably asking for trouble, really. Yeah. But I think it's sort of. I mean, I even like with that bit about, you know, the bit I did about Iggy Azalea being a minstrel show. Yeah. I had one guy, bizarrely, in Bristol, had a guy that had worked with her and, like, started, like, shouting at me and having a go. And you sort of think, well, you know, you can't assume that everybody agrees with you. Do you know what I mean? It's actually kind of fun.
I was hugely excited to see that bit in your main show.
Yeah.
Because I'd seen you develop the show.
Yeah.
But I thought, because Iggy Azalea isn't necessarily a mainstream reference or to everyone, but it gets across a valid point. The fact is she raps in a very different accent to that which she speaks in.
Yeah.
And therefore, how's that not appropriating culture, appropriating a race and things like that? It's kind of, it's a bizarre one to be acceptable. Yeah. And it's great that it's a discussion that comes up. I've still not seen much of this Honey G stuff, but it's a valid discussion that should be happening now, because that's not really acceptable to some. I mean, again, we've moved away from the point when comedians had put on a fake Indian accent to get a cheap joke, a cheap laugh. I mean, the only people who do it are Indian comedians now because it's gold. You've taken it back. But yeah, we've moved on from that. Yet it's acceptable in music to do that, to put on an accent, to appropriate a culture. And it's really odd. B. Dolan, who's toured with me loads, he's a rapper from a Providence, a Rhode Island. He lived in New York for years. He's so entrenched in hip-hop and rap culture, but he is white. And he said to me once, he was discussing that that lad, I guess, gets sent his stuff a lot, and it's not my thing. He did a white kid raps fast.
Watsky?
Yeah, right. Watsky. I'm not particularly into him. Yeah. He did his Ninjas in Paris and things like that, and it's kind of, it feels like you're treading on areas that you shouldn't. But Dolan summed up really well once in saying, despite the years and years of my life I've given to hip hop, of being in this game, I'm still a very grateful guest in this culture.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean? I'm part of this scene, but I feel very grateful to be allowed to be part of this scene. I've had to prove myself. I've had to earn my stripes, but I'm still a guest in a culture that isn't made by white people. And that's an important thing. And you don't get that same feeling from Iggy Azalea.
Well, I think the thing is that somebody actually accused me of being a bit misogynistic with that bit, because they were saying that their argument was that I'm not accused Eminem of the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
But my argument is that when you listen to Eminem rap, he raps how he talks. You know, like he's not putting on a black character, and he talks about being white, and he's unashamedly himself. And even when you listen to his records, he talks about how the fact that actually he sold more records than he otherwise might have done because he's white. You know, he sort of says that is a fact. Do you know what I mean? Like. So I sort of think there's a difference.
And equally,
there.
He states he's potentially courted more controversy because he's white, exactly, because of the attention he's got because of that. So it's a double edged thing.
Whereas,
but again,
I think with Iggy Azalea, you know, you sort of
she's Australian.
Yeah,
she's Australian. She's white and Australian. And she doesn't sound Australian when she raps.
Exactly. And I just think it's a completely different.
And Eminem does put on voices, but he doesn't put on black voices.
No.
Or, do you know what I mean? The only voices he does is when he does his cartoony type stuff. So it's kind of, it's a weird one. But I completely agree.
Like you said.
But I said, I loved it was in there because it's not
a mainstream reference. Yeah. So the thing is, actually, with that bit, I'm actually, for a lot of people in the audience, I'm introducing and then dismissing Azalea within 5 minutes. Do you know what I mean? They didn't know who she was. I now tell her who she is, and then I shit on her. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what happens in that bit. Do you know what I mean?
Let me bring you up to date. Now forget this person. Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you about this person you shouldn't know about. Brett, how's your year been? Have you been nice and busy? You kind of seem to be on a weird point where you're getting some really good success in acting, and how do you find the balance between, what are you, a stand-up or an actor, and what do you, is that, well, that something you have to ask yourself?
Is it?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
No, I always
That's
do.
What we're not been asking, mate.
Well, I mean, that's what audiences across the country are about. Every time I step on, is he an actor? Because he's fucking shit. It's shit, it is. What's he doing? Get Jodie Whittaker out. I always do stand up, and I do stand up most nights of the week unless I'm acting and can't. And I'm working on a new old show. But what was your question?
I can't even remember. Do you prefer one to the other? Do you prefer?
I love. Do you know what my favourite thing is? My favourite thing is new material nights for stand up. That is my favourite thing.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing more satisfying than thinking of something in the afternoon, going on stage that night, and if you say it and it's funny.
I've got to say, I'm never say this again. I think Brett's brilliant, right?
Yeah, I do.
I think never say that
on
again.
Top of his on top of his sort of talent, his work ethic is just incredible. And I always will respect a comic that's turning over stuff. And every time I go and do a new material night, this prick's here.
Yeah.
He's there and he's got a new thing. And I just think it's amazing, man. Like your turnover of stuff and like also contentious ideas. It's great. I think you're great, man.
I'll
never say that again.
Let's make sure that wasn't recorded.
Since it's Christmas and we're praising Brett, I have a similar thing where I watched, as I've said, I'm a big fan of Super Bob. I'm a big fan of a lot of stuff you're in. I like the, I can't remember the name of it. Was the David Hasselhoff?
Off the Record.
Off the Record. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I love your character in it.
You and the two other people that watch it.
Yeah, we both watch it, or we watch it together.
The other person is me.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it, but I rewatched a Super Bob a little while ago with a girl. And the good thing there was going, right, I love Brett, I think he's funny, blah, blah, blah. But then the realisation of going, he's a very attractive young man as well. Yeah. And it was like, it's
you
not
really
something,
agreed with that quite
it's not
hard,
something I'd particularly well. Noticed. I had noticed, but it's not something I'd acknowledged. I was like, this lad's got, he's got a lot going on. He's gonna do well this week.
Well, the thing is, you say that, but for me, as an audience member, a comedy gig, if somebody that looks like Brett comes on, I think to myself, you've got a fucking tough time making me laugh, dickhead.
Yeah.
Because you obviously have got a much better life than I have. I mean, do you know what I mean?
It's genuinely a thing, Brendan Schaub, who's an ex-MMA fighter, who does the Fighter and the Kid podcast that I'm a big fan of, has started doing stand-up, and he's been brought through by Joe Rogan and Chris D'Elia and Brian Callen and some really good people, and he's really good. But they all said from the start, he's like, you're going to be up against it because you're a handsome, big, muscly guy. So instantly, you're not in that position or people are instantly like, fuck this guy. Can't think, space as soon as you step on stage.
You sometimes see
comics. It's why I've not done comedy.
Yeah, you're just too alpha, isn't it? You sometimes see comics, because the thing is, I always think, wherever I want to see a comic be honest, and like, sometimes you see comics that are very good looking and very sort of, you know, you can see that they're like, you know, alpha or whatever. And then they talk about how awkward they are around women. And I watch that and I think, I just don't believe you. And so if I don't believe you, then nothing you say can be funny.
Anthony Jeselnik is a good-looking lad, but he's hilarious because he goes to Davro, who just will say what an amazing genius he is and what a wonderful person he is and how wonderful and hilarious
and
he is.
And like how much of a misogynist he is throughout it. But he maintains that all the way through his, you know, his thing. He thinks, he's always said he can't inhabit and say those jokes without being a complete arsehole for the entire sort of his entire set.
That's what Brett's so good. And the thing about Brett is an arsehole on stage, but also he's so devoted to that. He continues that off stage and just
Can I just say these last 5 minutes have been amongst the best of my life.
See, it's wonderful because I
didn't even hear the asshole coming.
I think the last time I saw Brett, it was with James Acaster, or one of the times. A recent was with James Acaster, and James and Brett asked me if I ever get hit on at gigs or after shows because James had been hit on, and they were saying that James always gets hit on after shows. And the thing that I didn't say at the time but generally struck me was, right, the problem there is I think James is the kind of person that will get hit on and mention it and be like, oh, it was weird, I got hit on. Whereas I think Brett probably gets hit on just as much, but he's the kind of person who'll he'll take him home and fuck him, and then not mention it. He'll be quiet.
Do you know what the thing
won't
is?
Make a deal
he won't
of it.
Mention it's just, it he hasn't even an, noticed. An, he hasn't even noticed he's fucked him. It's woken up the next day, he's gone out, and he's last night. Don't know, mate.
It's like you and I might
eat Weetabix. Brett fucks someone.
I don't know, but I feel awfully relaxed.
That is not. I'm hiding in the bush with a staff. I'd never get hit on after gigs.
Really?
Genuinely, never. And I think it's because of my act. I think it's because once you hear what I'm saying on stage, you go, oh, no, not for me.
Hold on. You did the show about not watching pornography.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I saw that at Edinburgh and it blew me away. Yeah. It's one of my favourite things I've seen.
Such a fucking brilliant bit. The show.
Thanks.
And then you're telling me that women didn't find you attractive after denouncing pornography.
No, because within the show there's talk of fucking all the disgusting, awful things that I think and do. So, although at the end
them.
I go,
it's sweet.
Nah, but the damage is done by
that. Yeah, by that point, it's
combination.
Stayed in your head, isn't it?
It's a one
look
hour.
Look at all the filth and dirtiness and rawness within me. But look at the.
No, it's like that staff. You know, it's done it once.
Some people
do it.
Some people thought that Brett had an epiphany and like was really turning things around. But I just thought he's written a 1 hour pussy line. That's basically, that's basically what's happened there. This
me, very long.
Me and.
Very long pussy line.
Me and Polar Bear, a great spoken word artist. I went to a spoken word night once. Yeah. It was an open mic. And I won't name any of the names, but one kid got up and had some real lady killer poems, and again I never enjoy that, it just feels a bit cringy, but we talk about it. In fact, the last time me and Polar Bear talked about this was last week, and it happened over 3 years ago, because this one guy got up and he was in good shape, and he said this next poem I wrote a few nights ago. I was working out in my living room and I always work out naked. And just as I was finishing, I looked down at myself and just realised that, you know, I am man and I am pure and I am... And all this, and literally the silence of the women...
He's being serious.
And the women were welling up. Because, again, he's in good shape. He's a good-looking guy. And me and Polar Bear were like...
That's outrageous.
Oh, my dig. And it just slayed us. And, it's something we still reference to this stage. So I was working out naked. And then I look down at myself. Yeah.
Do you get much? Because a lot of your bloody poems, but a lot of his poems and a lot of his spoken word even is just about fucking like suicide.
Yeah. No, but you've got that sexy one. What's that sexy one you got? I was listening to it the other day on my iPod while I was wanking.
That was a voice assistant.
What's the one? You know, I took her up to her parlour and pulled down her knickers and banged her. Feel it.
Yeah, it's a cover of the Kate Bush song, Feel It, with amazing vocals from Natasha Fox.
Yeah, la-di-da, that one.
It's a sexy one. It's funny because I've... Some of the time of touring, I was in a relationship, so there was never anything there. And then there was a period where I was single. There was a good few years. And I didn't get loads, but I always remember a one or two times. Oh, no, I didn't get hit on loads.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay, sorry.
He tried.
I didn't get loads.
But no, exactly because of what Chris has said there. Because always... I run the merch booth afterwards, and sometimes we'll do a club night afterwards.
That's how desperate he is to meet them.
Instead of just going out,
it's chances to meet
sell
people.
Merch.
Yeah. And there was one time I've been talking to this girl that was quite attractive a bit, and a few of the guys on the tour were like, hey, what's going on there? You're in there. And I was like, I don't know, she seems nice, you know, all being innocent. And I was like, I don't know, yeah, maybe. And then just in a gap and in a sign a bit, and she leaned over and said to me, I just need to let you know, magician's assistants saved my life. Which at that point, I can't do anything dirty or naughty. Because as I said, no. I've got songs about suicide.
Because you've
just
really?
And stuff.
Right.
You've got her there. Yeah.
He can't do anything dirty or naughty, Stu, because he just came. He was like, the level of vulnerability in someone who's just stopped and killing themselves is too much. God.
Do you, Ramesh, get a lot? Because you're like the perfect package. Funny, family man, seem reliable. Do you know what I mean?
Brett, do you remember when we first met, Brett said, I was at a gig with Brett, and he said to me, this is so funny what he said to me, I'll never forget. He said to me, I think it's interesting that you're brave enough to do a set that makes you so unattractive. I don't get hit on ever, like ever.
Not
never.
Like at stage
and,
door.
No, and the other thing is that I don't even get approached, like, you know, because I used to do tour support for Sean Walsh, right? So Sean is a brilliant comic, but his whole persona is like, at that time, he's not so much like that now, but he's talking about going out for drinks and shit like that. So we'd go out after the show and people would approach him and go, Sean, let's get a Jager bomb and all this shit, right? Now, because on my show, like with my stand-up, I talk about how much I don't want anyone to ever talk to me. What that means is that nobody ever approaches. And then what will happen is I'll go out and then I'll go back and then I'll just see on Twitter somebody going, I saw you at blah, blah. I was going to say hello, but I know you just called me a cunt and told me to fuck off.
So you just think, like, everyone hates you everywhere you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll look across the room and then look down.
Yeah.
I mean, job done. That's perfect.
I know.
That's a perfect night out. You've now. I had a night a few nights ago. I read three different tweets off people asking if it was me in a bar they were in different bars.
Yeah.
And I had to do just a tweet saying, the clue is if you're in my living room or not. Because if you're not, it's probably not me.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a partier these days.
On the tour, my tour manager used to tour manage Jack D.
Yeah.
He said that Jack never used to get approached, right? Until he did. Big Brother, you know, he did Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, and he showed he was all soft.
Yeah, and people thought, like, he came across as such a nice guy, and then he said it just fucking ruined going out. Because then, like, before that, people have thought, oh, I'm not going to approach him. And then after that, like, oh, Jack's all right.
It seems lovely.
Yeah.
This is all right. Stu, you saved a guy's life.
Hang on, I do feel like we've missed out these two getting Stormy hit on.
Topper. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saved the dog's life.
Hang on, let's
stop.
Let's go with Stu. You've done club nights for years.
And drunk
you're a family
fest.
Man, but do you get hit on?
Do you cheat on your missus?
On the
this bit's not being recorded. Go on.
Do you get hit on much at nights out in clubs? No.
Yeah, I'm old now.
You look miserable in our
club. You are
old and miserable.
Do I?
Do you? Just,
no, I'll tell you what.
When you fuck off back into the office, I'm like, thank God.
Because like, I'll tell you why
I'm standing behind, like, staring at
you. Where are you standing, you fucking dangerous loner? You're looking around the girls' toilets at fucking 3:10 with me and Pip going, that can't be right. And then the security are pulling you and a go out of fucking urinal.
That is exactly what happened at the last.
Wow, you stitched yourself up.
It's entirely accurate.
Genuinely, the old door girl at the club night, Elizabeth Mars, came up to me once and needed to ask something. And she was like, I never want to approach Stu because he looks like he's in such a bad mood. So we're having a lovely night out. We're having a few drinks, we're playing some songs, having a DJ. Just looks absolutely miserable. But yeah,
you're not though. You're not a miserable guy. You're just focusing on the job at hand, aren't you?
I'm taking the Jack D approach.
That's it. My favourite thing of recent lizards was. You were DJing and you were doing the 8 till 9 slot, which is an early slot. But,
yes.
No, but it's, you know, it's good. You do a lot of, you play a lot of good 90s stuff in there.
I mean, it sort of undermined you sort of bigging up the slot when Chris just started pissing himself laughing.
It is a good slot. genuinely, to counter that, Chris has done that slot before and played pretty much exclusively hard dance and failed miserably. So
that was so weird that night.
That was weird.
The general vibe of the night is kind of pop the R&B, like retro R&B and whatnot.
Chris just went raving at 8 o'clock.
Going, hey, what's wrong with you? Like, what the fuck's going on here? It's 10 to 9.
But genuinely, Stu's...
I just want to just clarify about anything that gets said tonight, I've not played that song in my life.
Mate, what was he playing?
I've never played that song in my life.
That's exactly what he was playing. But so it's about 8:30, 8:45, and Stu's getting to the end of his set, and he's got he DJs off memory stick, so he's scrolling through the names of the songs, and he scrolls through and stops on, and he doesn't know I'm watching him, and stops on Pony. Absolute a classic.
Yeah.
And then he looks at his watch and then moves on. And generally, I touch his head.
It worked
on. Did you not play that because it's not past the watershed? Yeah. Did you just go 8:45? No, I can't play Pony at this time. It's too sexy. It absolutely sledges a glance at the watch. No, it's not ponytail, mate. No. Go to Dungpen instead.
Absolutely covered.
Has your life changed since the drunk cast? Has Craig been getting...
No way.
Are you definitely serious? I don't believe you are, or know you from the drunk cast.
If I'm like being creepy on Tinder, I might get the occasional person saying, Hey, I was going to say, you've said you're great.
Is that your bio, being creepy on Tinder?
What's up? It's coming back. I'm bringing creepy back.
Chris, aka Craig. I like it at the... this is horrible. This is just going to be picking on Chris now. When we go to the wrestling... We go to Jim Smallman's wrestling thing. You know Jim Smallman, right? Yeah. And we go to his wrestling thing. It's fantastic. We went the first time in January as kind of it's a free night out. And we've been, what, 7-8 times this year? It's fucking amazing. We love it. But sometimes people will come up and chat and say hello. And I'm a bit awkward. So I'll chat a bit and then go quiet. And Chris will often take up a conversation with them. And he'll generally go, so you like the podcast?
Like lives.
And I'll be like, yeah.
Or Santa or Sensei.
But they're just
the other
people.
Day.
They're not famous. Yeah. They've got no...
Yeah, fuck them. But no, Chris, I've literally heard this many times. I go, you like the podcast then? And I go, yeah. And they'll go, have you got favourite episodes? And then, I swear he's that close to going, you might recognise my voice.
I'll stop listening for a second.
Hang on, let me do this spin kick.
Where you were going.
Let me do this spin kick quickly. Hang on. Do you recognise this?
I can't even confirm or deny.
Do you recognise this? I don't think there's anything wrong with the word fag. just many highlights of Chris on the drunk cast. But yeah, it always heckles me. And I should mention now at this point, I had an email earlier this week from our mutual friend, Aaron Shrimpton. And Ramesh said, Brett exclusively listens to the drunk cast now. He doesn't keep up to date, but that's fine. We don't.
He's not fine with it, by the way. He says that. Yeah. He's not fine.
I know that Chris doesn't listen to all of them or that many, but I was sent five photos this week of Chris on public transport listening to himself on the drunk cast, cracking up.
Wow.
Laughing out loud in public, listening to himself, going, brilliant. Classic
classic
stories.
Classic me.
From our mutual friend Aaron Shrimpton. Shout out to Aaron,
I don't even remember that. So
it's five different pictures, which obviously I'd almost see him again. It's a fucking podcast, mate. What am I going to do with five pictures? But still, it tickled me. But
one thing to listen to yourself. It's another thing to
at
it.
That sounds
it's
like
another thing to not conceal that you're listening to yourself.
and another thing to do it in public.
Yeah.
Other people. Hang on, I just need to pop this on.
I don't know what to say about that.
Classic.
I mean, I don't even know if I was.
Out of all of the things to listen to in the world, it's the audio equivalent of a selfie.
Let's just get up to date on this goal.
I don't know what to say. I thought he was going to say the pictures he had of me posing in a vest the other day. Listening to myself on a train.
There's a lot of pictures doing the rounds, I see. So you've not had any drunk cast advances? Because again,
the Craig stories paint you as a sexual Lothario. They're awful. I can't see any girl who listens to that and then want to
I think it makes you seem like You can do it by the bins.
No, that's true.
There's a lot of stories
sexually
of
inept. So yeah, no.
But you can get a boner whilst walking around a club.
I can get a boner now. You guys.
Yeah, just put on his own podcast.
Laughing out loud on a train in public with a boner.
Out.
Amazing.
We'll start to wrap things up for this first episode, and then on the next one we're going to get into going over the year's events. It's been a hell of a year. One thing we're going to do, I'm going to ask you each to pick a person that's died.
Favourite death? Oh, yeah, yeah.
A person that's died that you'd want to bring back to life, but you've got to choose someone to swap them with.
Ooh,
and
nice,
even more...
Easy. I mean, I've already thought of mine.
No, wait. It can't be someone you hate. It has to be someone you quite like.
Oh, fuck.
At least. Because it's easy to just go Trump. Trump. Or
quite.
Or Katie Hopkins or whatever. So has to be someone you wouldn't really want dead, but you'd swap for one of these great people that have died. So that'll be in part two. We'll get to the Craig story, because there's been a Craig story that we've been holding off for a while.
Yeah.
Mm. Term Mills. We'll get to that in part three, maybe. Mm. But let's around this part off. With Stu's story of saving a life, because you told us this the other day. You've got a share this. You went on holiday.
Yeah.
And you saved the guy's life.
So you're going to mug me off because it's a genuine story.
No, we've done this before. The most popular episode, we ended on a genuinely nice story of when.
He raped that Buckley, name.
No, that wasn't the nice story.
I've got away with that.
That wasn't the nice story. Again, we're doing a lot of adverts for previous drunk pasts. Shit. You need to hear these stories, but no. When James Buckley took your niece to
a prom,
a prom, it was a beautiful story. So you were on holiday, and a guy started choking.
I was in Mexico,
right?
And I was just on a family holiday with the kids. And
where
and
Mexico City? Or?
No, Riviera de Maya.
Okay, fine.
And sitting there,
happy.
I realised...
A likely story.
When I asked that question, I realised if he wasn't in Mexico City, I'd no knowledge about where he might be.
You had no way of qualifying it. Yep.
All right,
we're in Nacho Taco.
That checks out, Pip. Don't worry. Okay,
Old El Paso. Or New El Paso. So you're in Old El Paso.
Yeah. Go on.
I hate this when you try and make me do a fucking sincere story. Just go, it's a nice story.
I want a sincere story.
And all it was I was sitting there.
All it was. Saved the life.
In a nutshell, yeah.
Poked a guy in the eye for 40 seconds.
That's it. Biting my kid.
Didn't go out the van.
Stick your super bob up your ass. I saved a guy's life.
Go on,
what happened?
Go on, what happened, mate? Go ahead, mate.
There's a fella sitting next on the next table to me, and he just went a really fucking dodgy colour. So I thought...
Black? You racist?
Really white.
Okay. That is dodgy.
And his missy started slapping him and stuff, and I just thought, whoa, that's not good. And no one was doing anything, so I thought, right, let's go and see what I can do. So I just went over there, and he'd pissed himself, and he was completely cold. Shit. He was... bad, like really clammy, and I just thought, fuck. So
what time of the day was this, brother?
This was at about 8 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
In a restaurant?
In a restaurant, yeah. Right.
Brett, a wash analysis. Finger up the bum?
At this point, he's pissed himself.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, hang on, what colour is he? White as fuck.
Yeah.
White as fuck, he's pissed himself.
Lips, so it's safe to approach, he's white.
I'm thinking, go straight for the kiss, did you?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Go on.
So I just thought, right, okay, like this is quite bad. So tried to feel for a pulse, no pulse. He's missing.
Oh, where'd you feel?
Wrist. Right. No, he's missing. He's spazzing out. Check the airwaves.
Just going to check his cock for a pulse.
Lightly cup his balls. I'm not feeling anything there.
He pissed himself. I'm not going there.
The most sensitive part of your body is your tongue. You can tell that from like heat, food. Just going to check. Go on, mate.
So, straight down, recovery. But at which point, he's...
No, is it? It's not like this at Pride of Britain Awards.
Oh, come on, I want his fucking tears. I don't want this.
After a blowjob gag, you can't say straight down, recovery.
Oh, man. Why are you making me do this?
So recovery position.
Go on.
Yeah, straight down recovery. Yeah.
Straight down.
So straight. Right. It's in recovery position.
But he's misses his uncontrollable, and he's got his daughter who was about five, who was absolutely in fucking pieces.
Yeah, of course.
Which is fucking weird.
Can we just go back to his missus being uncontrollable? What, she's voracious. What's happening? What's happening?
I'm signing out, man.
She's seen freedom.
Straight down recovery. She's got involved. Uncontrollable.
At what point are you single?
She's nothing away.
There's three of you. Your kids are watching.
Like, you know when people say,
"I'm in a restaurant."
You know when people say, "I died for 5 minutes." Single.
Oh God.
Go on, mate. So, on. So is Mrs. is uncontrollable, insatiable.
Keep it simple.
Exactly, mate.
So is Mrs. uncontrollable, and obviously everyone's a mess. His kids. All joking aside, it's not nice for his kid to see this. So you,
or listen to this back.
And calmed her down.
My thought was amazing. She ran over there and picked her up and cuddled her and told her she'd be all right. And,
yeah.
And that was nice, you know. Well,
yeah.
I was well proud. And yeah, and he was pretty much gone. And yeah. So it was a case of like, right, shut open. Here we go.
Yours or his?
I took mine off first. I was getting up, man. But like the candles.
Wait a second, let me loosen my belt.
But yeah, no, literally just rattled the shoulders and that and gave him one more kind of like wake up before I fucking started CPR.
Right.
And he come one up more. Kind of fighting and shit.
So before you gave him CPR?
He came up fighting.
So you've got him on his front. So
no, he's on his back.
He's on his back.
Yeah, I'd rolled him back from recovery.
So you were about to start CPR and he woke up.
What I'd done was...
What did you do?
One little kind of... Now, I was... Here we go. Right, so I literally pinched my finger and my thumb on his earlobe as hard as I could.
Is that a known
way? It's a really good way. Assault. And then I also put water in his ear.
What?
So hard in a minute, mate. Like, where'd you learn?
What kind of doctor are you?
Are you a homeopath?
You put water...
This never happened. You're just jealous of my
cold,
dog, Joe.
Yeah. Water in their ear.
Yeah.
Invariably... If they're not fucked,
yeah.
They'll come up.
Oh, yeah, but if they are fucked, it just looks like you're fucking tormenting them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
it's a step down from waterboarding.
Yeah, but that on the earlobe really fucking freaked him out. And then a big shove on the shoulders. And he'd come up kind of like fighting them.
Really? Fighting you? Like, get off my fucking ear.
Yeah, he was
a weirdo.
He had a fucking stranger.
Why are you topless?
Straddling him with my shirt off.
Why are we both topless? Where's my wife?
No time to explain.
Well, there you go. Wow. Was he all right? So he was all right after that?
I saw him the next night, yeah. It was some kind of anaphylactic reaction of shit. Something he'd eaten.
So hang on, he started fighting you and you... What?
Just restrained him.
And then when you... I just saved your life.
A couple of peanuts down the throat, went back into shop.
Fuck you then. There we go, yeah. Hero.
Hey, that's amazing.
That is good work.
You owe me that for fucking mugging me for the last 10 minutes as well.
Yeah, no.
Well, you didn't really do a lot, though.
No, you didn't actually get to the side. I made it look
shook him. Like I'd done loads. Yeah. That was
so a guy passed out and you shook him and he woke up, essentially. I mean, you've extended it. But if
you
it was
sort of
the
flicked him on the ear.
Yeah, you flicked him on the ear.
What was the anaphylactic shock triggered by?
Do you know what? Because there was other things that I was asking questions. What he, you know, was he diabetic? Was he like epileptic? Yeah. And I also know he has a bowl of muscles. And I was like,
do you reckon it could have been
normally?
That?
And she was like, no, he eats them all the time. He'd eat, and apparently he was telling me he eats ghost chilies and whatnot. But that night he said he had a jalapeno and put it in, and then he can't remember anything after that. Just done him. And he's like, he eats chilies all his life, but he had one jalapeno. And
how long did you have left of this holiday?
I was about midway through.
Were you treated like an absolute hero for the rest of the week?
No, nothing. No. I was really disappointed. Well, I see him the next night. He didn't even buy me a drink.
What? Are you serious, though?
No.
That's outrageous.
Is it because of what happened with his wife?
I think so. No, like,
that sort of balances it out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
She bought him four.
Anyway, right. Another jalapeno.
Yeah.
Just a little cocktail with a little jalapeno on it. This is for the husband. I'll meet you at the bar. Anyway, right, let's end it there and we will continue into the next episode. Bye.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Picks, the Scratch and Pieces.